Is me?
Yep.
All right. Brandon Jenkins here. You're watching the Marcus Deacon Show.
The Marcus Deacon Show. What's the story, guys? Welcome to another episode of the pod. See what happens when the mushrooms kick in? The tongue, the lips, the cheeks all start to get all kind of mashed together. That brings me into today's episode is proudly sponsored by Muse. They are the number one mushroom infused products. Guys, if you want to take your life to a more vivid place, trust in Muse. We're going to leave their information in the description. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the podcast. Got another badass in the building today. Tell you what, man, when it comes to combat sports, there's levels to this shit, right? The levels of being a fucking badass and bare knuckle boxing, yeah, it's great, but bare knuckle MMA, we're going to discuss all that stuff today. Check out the face on this guy. This guy's got a haircut like an Aussie. He's not an Aussie, but he's got a haircut like one. Brandon Jenkins, what's the story, brother?
I look like I came from a Kiss concert.
You do look like you came from a Kiss concert. It looks cool though.
Yeah. All this happened in like 40 seconds. It's crazy. Those knuckles really cut you up.
So was it the nose that made the eyes go black like that? Or did you connect? Did you get two?
I had two cuts. The guy, he couldn't touch me a whole first round. And then he did a brilliant setup where he was lefty. Then he went righty. Kind of hit me with a Dustin Poirier.
Mm.
So yeah, he's right-handed, but he was standing southpaw. And then he threw a combo, stepped through, hit me with the right hand. And then he just kind of like pounded on me for like 40 seconds. And I got up, I got to my corner, and I was so pissed because I was doing so good, you know, but my face was just leaking blood after that.
Does that make you go, fuck, because I know most people that have never been punched in the face and had a bleed freak the hell out. Does that make you go, fuck, or does it fuel you and go, fuck, and that's it?
So for this camp, so I did a karate combat before this one.
Yeah. Did you do the one here in Vegas?
Yeah.
You did really, really fucking well with that as well.
Yeah. That was fun, so I really embodied that karate style, and I was being more patient and fighting on the outside. And I was like, I'm going to bring that to my MMA fights from now on. And so this fight, I was sticking and moving on the outside, and he couldn't touch me the first round. Like, I swear he whiffed like three or four combinations at me. I felt amazing. Then he caught me at the very end of the first round, and I was just so upset, you know. And I sat down, and my coach was telling me, like, all right, like, patient Jenkins isn't working anymore. Let's just press him, you know. Let's go on leg kicks and let's back him up. I said, I'm just going to fight him. I'm not doing this anymore. So I just went forward the whole time and wall and brawled him.
And that was probably the way that you should have done it from the beginning, do you think?
I didn't want to get all busted up last fight I got through it, I didn't get touched once. Mm. And then it looked like it was going that way again. And then I got all cut up. And it doesn't take much with the knuckles, you know.
Yeah, so like the third round, you ended up getting the win. Mm-hmm. Kind of got a bit hazy there. Were you just stunned or a bit dizzy in that first round? Like, how do you recover so quickly from something like that?
I didn't know what he hit me with.
What was it? It was just two punches.
It was just a right uppercut.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
But he started lefty and then it went righty and hit the uppercut. I put my head in the slot. We call it a split. So he's throwing a jab. And I try to split him with my head offline. That's how you fight lefties. So I put my head over here because I thought his jab was in here, but he switched it to an uppercut and he caught me. It was a beautiful setup. Mm. Like I was like, wow.
So his fight IQ was up there.
Another weird thing is I was trying to be the matador and he was going to be the bull because I watched him fight my teammate, Johnny Parsons. Another beautiful mullet. If you ever...
Johnny sat in that seat right there and we had an amazing conversation. Yeah. Great guy, great mullet. Not as good as yours, but it's up there.
Yeah, so I thought I was going to be the matador and him be the bull. And the whole time I'm trying to draw him in and I could hear his corner, don't go in, don't go in. He's trying to bait you, don't go in. So I was like, fuck. So that's why I ended up fighting him, you know.
Because, yeah.
Couldn't get him to come in on me, and I was trying to drop a missile on him, but he caught me.
So how do you train? When you're training for bare knuckle, obviously this may be a stupid question, but I'm sure people out there wonder, do you train with gloves or do you train without gloves?
No, I still train like regular. I just with the puffy gloves, and I hit pads bare knuckle though, and I hit the bag bare knuckle. I do pull-ups with a towel to try to strengthen my hand.
Mm.
And I broke my hand my first bare knuckle fight, or my left knuckle. So I started taking super creatine, trying to strengthen up my bones.
And how did that go?
I didn't break my hand this time. And I finished him with the hand that I broke last time.
Wow.
So I feel like it worked.
So, like, obviously, as we were talking a little bit earlier on, the damage is a lot more with bare knuckle because obviously there's no padding to protect the face, really. How does that like, when you, obviously you're a mixed martial artist, but when you're doing it without gloves, how different is it from if you were doing it with gloves, per se? Like, what's the difference? Is distancing difference? Is the speed difference? Do you have to get in there quicker? Like, what is it?
Yeah, so I feel like it's better. I feel like it's better than regular MMA because, like, if they could take them all off universally, I think people would realize it's way better. You can grapple better, which is, like, most fights have grappling in it, you know? And the gloves, things get stuck. People put their fingers in your gloves. There's more fouls, more eye pokes. I believe also you can't just wing punches. People – punches don't even hurt that bad with bare knuckle. Believe it or not, it's like they cut more, they do more superficial damage. But your hands aren't all casted up, and guys aren't just throwing overhands and cracking you because you can break your hand. So you got to pick your shots better. Right. So you see these fights are like slowed down to a slower pace because they're looking for their shots. You know.
Yeah. Is BKFC something that you would go to, or? Because I know that they're kind of climbing up there now as far as promotions go, and money's getting a lot bigger for a lot of these, you know, is that something that you've looked at, or are you strictly an MMA guy?
Definitely just the MMA guy. BKFC, like, I can just straight box. I got to have all my weapons, you know.
So do you think it would be harder to do BKFC?
Oh, yeah. Like, I have pro boxing matches, but it's just different, you know. Like, there's dirty boxing, and you can grapple a little bit with the hands and the head. You can hold the head and punch and stuff. But I have these tiny little Burger King bitch hands, and they would break so fast.
They are dainty, aren't they?
Put them up there. Let me look at it. Oh, look at that. It's like your girlfriend's hand or something, huh?
Very dainty for an MMA. I don't think I've ever seen an MMA fighter with such dainty hands. And I say that in the most respectful way.
Yeah, funny story. When I was in the UFC, so this happens like every time I put on a new company's glove, no matter UFC, PFL, LFA.
Cage Titans, was it as well?
No, Cage Aggression.
Cage Aggression. I knew it was one of the cages. So as long as it wasn't Nicolas Cage, you'd be right.
So like every time I put their gloves on, my pinky disappears into the glove. It's like literally this much out of it, just like the tip sticks out. And I'm like, can I get the smallest glove you got? And then the rest of my hand doesn't feel great. So put on the UFC gloves finally, and my pinky would disappear into it. I'm like, this is as small as you got. They're like, well, we got women's gloves. I was like, can I wear those? They're like, yeah, yeah. Oh, no big deal. Like, we're not going to make fun of you, you know. We've seen guys wear women's gloves before. I'm like, really? How many? They're like, oh, one other guy. I'm like, who was it? And they said, okay, well, we're not supposed to tell you, but it's Joseph Benavidez. I'm like, he's 4'11". What do you mean? Like, don't tell anybody, but yeah, I'll wear it. And,
but, is that right?
Yeah, me and one other guy had the smallest hands in the UFC, and we wore women's gloves.
Well, that's funny. Stitch Duran, when I interviewed him, he told me that Brock Lesnar had the biggest hands in the UFC. 4X, that pretty much split all the gloves.
Yes. No, Shane Carwin had the biggest. He had to have his specially made.
Go on then, show us how it is, mate.
Oh, yeah. So every time I put these on... what are these, larges, or what are they? I don't even know. But
Paige VanZant signed the autograph that one.
Yeah, so like my pinky, look at this. This happens every time, and every time I'm fighting.
So you can't get a full fist then.
Yeah, yeah. It looks weird, but like my pinky always slides into the glove, and I end up doing this like every fight. Like I'm like, wait a second. And then the ref has to like pull my finger.
Wow, is that right? That had to be like a little distracting.
It's happened like 3 or 4 times. Yeah, right. Yeah. And yeah, so it's like this most of the time.
Wow.
Even the smallest glove. So, and bare knuckle MMA, I mean, they fit right in between the guards. Guys will have their arms up, and my hands will slide right through. So maybe it's like a little cheat code, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's, I mean... Like, I don't want to say it's a disadvantage having small hands. I mean, it's funny, but it's not a disadvantage. You can use it to gather strength out of. That's great. So what's it like working for Gamebred FC? Is that a cool company to work for?
Yeah. So,
they're still getting started and still new, right?
Yeah, that was like their 7th one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I had like kind of a crazy, like 2 years, like where I fought PFL, had a knockout, and then I Then I went to UFC. I had a couple UFC fights, but they're cutthroat. They let me go after two. And
why? Did you win those fights?
No. The first one I did on a day and a half's notice. I was at the In-N-Out Burger down the street.
Mm-hmm. I know the one.
Yeah. So I was there with Jordan Levitt, the Monkey King, and yep. Jason called me. He was like, "Can you fight this weekend?" I was like, "Where?" He said, "UFC." I can't say no, but I've been on a holiday for like 2 weeks, and I gained like a couple pounds. You know, I was like, "Yeah, I can do it. It's not going to be easy though." So I cut like 18 pounds and didn't get the water load or anything. And
did you finish your In-N-Out Burger after you had the call, or did you decide?
No, I just finished it.
Oh, you just finished it.
Two double doubles and a milkshake.
Yeah, so. Okay, that's good. That's good. That's standard.
Fat and sugar. Yeah. I made the weight, cried. I can't believe I just did that. And then I was like, "Oh, I got another fight right here." And I fought this 20-3 kid. He was a phenom, and I lost in the third round. And then my second fight, I fought a kid with like 10 UFC fights, and I just kind of froze out there. You know, you're eight years old, hitting the bag in the front lawn. You know, I got this bag hanging from the tree and stuff. And I was like, I want to be a UFC fighter one day. And I finally get in, and it lasts like 8 months. And it's really disheartening, you know. And
so that's a good topic, actually. So how do you come back from something like that? Like, how do you dust it off? Because isn't really the UFC looked as the number one pinnacle promotion? So in a sense, do you feel like you're going backwards when you get let go from the UFC?
Yeah, so when it happened to me, I was like super depressed.
You know? Really? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, they offered me somebody else in between the two fights, but I had a bulge disc in my back. And
they suck.
Yeah, I was like, "Oh, I can't. I'm not even medically cleared." But the UFC considers that as turning down a fight. So they offered me to fight like Daniel Zellhuber, who trains at Extreme Couture. And I wanted that fight. And big, tall, 6'2" striker like me. And I was like, "Yeah, I want that. I just can't do it right now. My back's messed up." And then the next one they gave me was a guy who had been on a huge streak, been in like UFC for like 7 years. And when, you know, before that one, I was like, "Oh my God, I'm worried about my job." Cause I see other people going 0-2 and they get in the boot, you know?
Yeah.
So I kind of went in there just kind of worried about my job, worried about everything. And I just kind of froze and I got beat up. So, and then they let me go. I thought, you know, stepping on a short notice, they would give me at least three, you know.
How long did they let you go after your loss?
I was like No, 2 months later, they let me go.
And how do you get that information? Does Jason House call you?
The worst thing ever was another one of my teammates that went 0-2. He was back in he's from England, but he went back home and he was texting me, "Man, it sucks they let us go, huh?" I was like, "What? Well, who go?" And then I called my manager, and then who's Lance, and then he's like, "We'll talk in the morning." I'm like, "Well, that means yes." Like, that sucks. So yeah, I was just like, yeah, I was kind of found out by somebody else, you know.
Was there a silver lining in that dismissal and being let go from the UFC? Like, did you learn anything out of it, or did you take anything out of it that you use now to power you through your life in your MMA career?
Yeah, I took the fight, the second fight, because me and the guy had a little history, Drakkar Close. We had trained together a couple times, and you know, I kind of got the better of him in training, and maybe I thought like, "Oh, that would translate to fights," but it doesn't always do, because you know, sparring, training, and fighting are way different. But yeah, I was just kind of like, first I said, you know, "Oh, he's got way more fights than me. Maybe I shouldn't." And then I let my friends talk me into it, like, "Oh, you guys did really good training together. You guys, you beat him in sparring, so maybe that'll work," you know. And I was like, "Yeah, maybe you're right." So I went against my gut. I probably should have just like, you know, stuck to my guns and said no, but it is what it is. And yeah, sometimes you got to be safe from yourself, you know. Like,
no, absolutely, of course. Sometimes your biggest destruction, like, I know that anything that's fucking majorly happened in my life, I've always fucking caused it myself.
Yeah,
anything that's fucked up, I've always done.
Yeah, just these bigger companies, you can't really like think you're doing them a favor, because you're not, because you're just like you're a number to them, you know.
Yeah, I suppose that's
the worst thing was after that happened, I went and got like a big win over a top prospect in Canada, and then I got the Ultimate Fighter call. So then I went to the Ultimate Fighter, sat in the hotel for like 2 weeks, and then Connor brought his guys in, and then I got the boot, I was supposed to be on the show. So I got the boot from the UFC, right? And then I got Ultimate Fighter. Then I got booted from that because of Connor. I thought this was you at first.
Really? You did that? Wow. Yeah, oh, that sucks.
So, and then I got the PFL call. I went back to PFL, up a weight class, had a fight of the year contender.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I watched that fight today. That was fucking badass, that fight.
I was blind like that, like half that fight. And then they let me go also.
They let you go after that fight? Yeah, after Wasn't that fight of the year?
It was runner-up.
Runner-up.
Second, I mean, the other one, Shane Burgos, that's their guy. They got to promote him, but yeah.
The Juice.
Me and Juice, yeah.
The Juice, that was one of my favorites. Yeah. And you lost that fight too, right?
Yeah, it was a close one.
I thought it was a robbery, actually.
Yeah.
I thought you definitely outstruck that guy, big time. You rocked him way more than he rocked you. There was that one little time where he did a great flurry of punches. I can't recall exactly what they were, but they all landed on your head and you fucking wobbled there, do the chicken dance, but you recovered really well. What a fight that was. I watched it today. Yeah.
I like Drews. He's a good dude. We're both Minnesota guys. So he hurt me really bad in the first minute of the fight, and I was blind. I broke my orbital. And
so when you say blind, you couldn't see nothing.
Like, imagine like playing split screen multiplayer, a shooter game. Like, this is the line.
Yeah.
But it was like this. Like, my vision was...
So the top, like...
I'm looking at you, but then my eye was looking at the ceiling. So that was like the whole fight. And after the first minute. So people are like, oh, why didn't you block more? I was like, I couldn't see, dude. Like, I was just like sheer toughness and will. And so I thought I would, because I rocked him twice. The first round, the ref was like, defend yourself, Jenkins. Defend yourself. I'm going to stop it. And then the second round, he told Juice to defend himself twice.
Yeah.
And then the third round, I rocked him with the head kick, and I feel like I outstruck him. But he got a takedown with 30 seconds left, and I think that kind of stole it. Well, 50 seconds left. But I don't think a takedown should win you the round, especially if you got outstruck a little bit, you know?
You gotta have a fucking tough brain to be in this fight game, eh? You got to be mentally strong. Yeah. Like, it's just such a huge part of it. We talk about it all the time on the podcast, like... You know, that mental is fucking majority of it. I mean, and speaking of mental, let's circle back. What the fuck is going on with Ryan Garcia right now, bro? Did you see all that stuff that he was talking about yesterday?
No, I had my fight, and I'd kind of just been trying to focus on recovering from that and starting a new job, that kind of stuff. But yeah, after that, that was three things I got let go of, right?
Fuck.
And it was a pretty brutal year for me. And then but then Gamebred called, and they were like, hey, you only want guys that are fighting the night guys. And I was, that's me, you know? So they really reached out, you know, and made me feel like family, you know?
Like you wanted.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So now I've kind of realized it's not really about destination. It's more about like who... Like, hey, do you want to go back to UFC? I was like, well, I'd like another run, you know?
And that's definitely not out of the cards either. That's the beauty of your sport, right? You can go back.
Yeah, I'd have to win a couple in a row. But it's all about who treats you better and who takes care of you, you know, makes you feel wanted, takes care of you, especially on fight week, you know?
Iridium Sports Management, that's why they're so great at that. You know, they make you feel like a family over there.
Yeah, every great thing that's happened in my career is when Lance walked into my life, so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Drop in romantic music right there. Lance, you're a good guy. I interview all of your fighters and everyone says good stuff about you, Lance. And you're a good man. You're very handsome with that beard and everything. I like it.
No, you know, right here. You see him in his mustache?
That kind of looks a little bit like Lance, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I tore my ACL in 2019 and lost by TKO. Lance literally let me pick me up from the hospital. I barely met the guy, too. I've known him for like two months at the time. Let me stay at his house for a couple of days after my surgery, and then we started working together a little bit, built a friendship, and then I won a couple of fights with him in my corner, and then I went to the PFL, UFC. I mean, I literally went from the couch, ACL surgery, to champion, to major league stuff, all with him. So I owe that guy everything. You know?
So he's pretty much been with you nearly your whole career?
No, just last 10 fights.
How long have you been in Vegas?
Be 5 years.
5 years, been here a minute.
5 years in April.
From Minnesota?
Yep.
Nice, nice. you've got to be here if you're going to be in your industry. I always say this, right? You got to be here, especially, you know, do you get to train at the Performance Institute?
Yeah. They just took care of me. Thankfully, I have a lot of friends over there, and I was like, "Hey, can I come motorboat the ice bath?"
Yeah, right.
You know, like, fuck, my face has been all swollen. I'm gonna get my contacts in. Today was my first day with contacts in.
Does it hurt?
Nah.
Like no achy fucking headaches or anything the next day?
Nope, it's weird. Bare knuckle, like I told you, like the punches don't hurt as bad as regular punches. Mm. Like they just cause more superficial damage. Like, because your hands are usually casted up and taped and gloved.
So they just cast up to that, like
Inch below the knuckle.
Inch below the knuckle.
Okay. Yeah, just enough to like keep your hand protected. But I actually asked for this fight. I asked for just my wrist. So I went straight wrist wraps and nothing over my hands.
Were you wrist hurting or anything after the fact?
No, I just wanted to not punch like an idiot. I feel like if I didn't have any wraps on my hand, I would have better punch selection. So, and I did. I didn't hurt my hands.
That's interesting.
My first game head fight, I broke my hand.
I was going to say, you've had two, right?
Halfway through the second round, I broke my hand. So I fought that fight with one hand.
Now, were you hitting with the hand that you broke, or did you just decide to just defend with it and hit with the other hand?
Oh, in that first fight?
Yeah, where you broke your hand.
I was palm striking him.
Right, you couldn't hit with it.
Yeah, the good old boss Rudin special. I was overhanding it, yep.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely that, I suppose that your hands, people don't realize that your hands is what has to really be conditioned for bare knuckle fighting. And how do you do that? Like you said, you do the pull-ups with the rope, but do you do the fucking Jean-Claude Van Damme in the fucking, you know?
Punching the soil or the dirt, sand.
Yeah.
I haven't done that one yet, but I did start taking the super calcium to build up my bones and stuff. I think that really helped a lot. But no, mainly just like doing a lot more stuff with like pads and stuff like bare knuckle. I think that really helped out a whole bunch. And just a lot of the grappling, even the cage grappling with like no gloves to protect your hands. It's kind of toughen them up.
Mm.
But yeah.
Yeah. So now are you just freelance now?
I signed a deal with Karate Combat.
Nice.
I think I have 16 more months. But I said, they're trying to lock me down like for a couple of years. And I said, I would do karate for a couple of years, but I need to be able to do game bread also because I fucking love that. The game bread is like.
Why do you love that?
Just like more primal, you know, like just, it just feels different. Like sometimes like in regular MMA fights, because I've had like 50 MMA fights where small gloves and like I'm having the best fight day ever. I get back there, I tape my hands up, put my gloves on, and I just. I like this dump, and I'm like, why are my arms heavy? Mm. But there's none of that when it was bare knuckle, because it's like your hands are there, you know? You feel great the whole time. And just better for grappling, better, especially with my little hands, you know, I feel like I can sink them through there a little better.
I interviewed another guy from your promotion, actually, King Joel Bauman.
That dude's a savage.
I mean, he's an interesting character. I can put it that way. We had a really deep conversation.
Loves conspiracy theory.
And the episode got ripped down from YouTube within 5 minutes of it being up.
Yes.
They took it down. Yep. They took it down straight away.
Yep.
And we got into a hole. We went down a fucking rabbit hole about some, like, and he wasn't live in the studio. He was just like, he was coming in live from wherever he was. So he was on the big screen there. I was just sitting here by myself. And I was a little scared. I was like, fucking hell, I've never had a conversation like this before.
Yeah, he's from my neck of the woods. He's up there, Minnesota guy.
Awesome. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thanks to him, I think it's him the reason why collegiate athletes can get paid now because of his case, because he was doing, I don't remember his full story, but I believe he was either making music.
He's doing that. I know he's making music and he has a supplement that he's working on as well.
Yeah.
And also his
some sort of crypto or something.
Yeah. And then obviously his cause is to eradicate the world of child malnutrition. Yeah. Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah. We know about you, Jimmy. We know about you. And so does Joel Bauman. And Joel had the balls to call him out. Jimmy Kimmel, the mainstream media, called him all a bunch of.
Was he on the list?
Yes.
Oh. Who's the other guy? Stephen Hawking.
I want to go, I want to go to the island.
Yes.
To the island.
That was the best.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
I want to go to the island, LOL.
You fucking pervert. Man, Stephen Hawkins. Fucking hell. And he was into the...
midgets, right?
I don't know if you're allowed to say midget, but yeah, the midgets.
Yeah, he wants them to do math.
Math on the board. Yes. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Joey, did you hear about that? You know who Stephen Hawking is, right? Yeah. Switch your mic on there, Joey.
I do know about
him. You know who he is?
Yeah, the memes were the funniest about that.
Oh, the memes were hilarious. Fucking hell. What's going on in this world right now? What the fuck is going on in this world right now?
Circle back to Joel. He had one fight. So this guy was a savage, right? He's Minnesota Golden Gopher wrestler. Like when he started fighting, I've heard stories about this guy, like how he's gonna be the next big thing, but he would only train like two days a week or something like that. First fights, and he's fighting in like huge organizations like LFA and stuff, and he would just smoke guys in the first round. And I remember after one of the fights, he comes to the back and he like throws a chair or something. He's mad about it. I'm like, you just won. That was beautiful. That's gonna be on ESPN. He's like, I'm just stressed out. I said, why are you so stressed out, Joel? And he's like, man, I live with both my baby mamas. We all share a house. I was like, you have two? He's like, yeah, both of them. We all just share the house. I'm like, you're a king, bro. You're a king. He's like, and then now he's King Bowman. I don't know. I'm not going to take credit for that. But
King Bao.
Yeah, dude, he's an interesting guy. But
if I had 10 guys coming at me with knives, I could easily dismantle and kill them.
He said that?
Yeah, bro. I would rather be attacked by three guys with knives to show you what I can do. Yeah, like he was fucking full on Batman voice, the whole bit. But it was a great interview. You know, it's on his Rumble account, I believe. And I think it's on Spotify, but YouTube took it down because it was too controversial. You know, you can make videos on how to make money farting into a jar and selling it to perverts, right?
Yeah.
But you can't talk about, you know, the conversations we had. But interesting guy, great fighter. And I think he's good for the sport, man. He puts eyes on the sport.
Yeah. I hope he gets signed by, like, a big promotion. I think he's great for Game Bread. Hopefully pick up some steam. You know, like, I just fought in this huge arena at the Kia Center with the Orlando Magic play. This is their biggest show yet.
Oh, how many? Was it a busy crowd?
Oh, yeah. It was a big... I didn't stop taking pictures for like 2 hours after the fight.
Awesome.
I was like, somebody get me out of here, please. Like, I don't want to be that guy, you know? But
yeah,
like,
but it's still cool, though.
Like, yeah, you're sitting there having drinks and then people are just pulling next to you, like just lining up. And I'm like, somebody please take me out of here.
Yeah.
You know?
You're not used to that.
Yeah. And like, yeah,
MMA fans, they're pretty.
Hometown, yeah. But like, yeah, when you're just like in Florida. And,
yeah.
It was cool, though. I really appreciate the love, though. That was awesome.
Nah, I mean, that's kind of got to be a great part of it, is that having a bunch of people lining up to take a photo with you, that's great. Just shows that your fans, you know, really support what you do. Talking about different promotions, what about the power slap? Is that something that you've ever thought about doing?
I don't think I would do very good in power slap.
Oh, yeah, you got those little, yeah.
It'd be like, did you hit me? I promise I did. Shut the fuck up.
Have you seen those memes with those little hands?
Yeah, that's me, the Burger King Whopper commercial. Like, hold my Whopper for me. So they made the Junior Whopper so I can fit it. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, it's good that you can laugh at yourself about it. You know what I mean? I believe that you've got to be able to laugh at your little flaws.
This guy sent me a... I should have screenshotted it, but I was mad about it, but I thought it was hilarious too. It was like late that night after my fight. It was a shirt that he made and it said tiny hands, big heart. And it was like me going screaming. And I was like, that's the best shirt ever. Fuck you, man. It looked good in pictures. You know what I mean? Like, you send that picture.
That's so funny. That's fucking funny. That's pretty cool though, man. Yeah. That's funny. What about so do you watch the UFC when it's on the weekend? So will you be watching this weekend?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, I like Chito Vera. He's fun to watch.
Yeah, I like Chito Vera. He's a little bit of a psychopath as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he's just like takes the first couple rounds off, which might, you know, he needs to start a little faster against
against Sean O'Malley. He definitely does, because Sean starts off pretty quickly with those long kicks, keeping the distance, and then being able to he's really precise with his punches. He's got a long reach. He's a lot smaller in person than I actually thought he would be.
Yeah, I like Ali Cheeto. I love his story, you know, and I'm really rooting for him. He's got to be a little more vigilant that first couple of rounds. But the thing is Sean's never been five, so... And Cheeto's gone five a couple of times, and he gets stronger as it goes on.
Like
so.
Nate Diaz gets a bit stronger as he goes on. So
Who was it? Dom Cruz was kind of picking him apart, and then he starched him, and then Frankie Edgar was up on him, and he starched Frankie Edgar. So it's like guys will get up on him, and he'll find you in the later rounds, you know.
Especially fucking legends like Frankie Edgar and Dominic Cruz with his freaky style.
The internet's so ruthless. I see pictures of Frankie getting kicked in the mouth and his face is all like, yeah. I'm like, white past it.
That's my dude. the fucking Tony Ferguson one where Mike Chandler kicked him in the face. Yeah. That one was even fucking worse.
I said, this is going to happen to me one day.
Then they'll put that on a t-shirt.
Fucking meme, yeah.
Yeah, put that one on a t-shirt.
I hope not. Shit.
Yeah. What's the funnest part you'd say about your job, the best part about it?
Just doing what I love to do and not having a regular job, which is cool because I haven't had a regular job since 2020 and just having the freedom, you know, training with my best friends and doing what I love to do. And I still have my freak outs before the fight, you know, especially Karate Combat. That was the worst part is... Like, my manager was kind of looking at him. He's like, you're good? And I was like, yeah. I mean, he's like, you've done this like 80-something times. And I was like, yeah, but this is different. He's like, what is different about this? And I was like, well, I'm about to go fight on Mars in a pit, and I got to wear pants. It's weird, you know, like, because Karate Combat, you're in that pit, you know? And
yeah, and what's the floor that you're – is it? It's not a canvas, is it?
It's a canvas. Yeah.
It's the same as an octagon in a boxing ring?
I would say so.
Yeah. But the area is a lot bigger, right?
Yeah, you can run around a lot more. And you can jump off the pit and hit people. You can pin people on the pit and hit them. The cool thing is like when they fall in the pit wall, they're not downed. So you can like axe kick them. You can knee them in the head. So you're not a downed opponent when you fall on your back. And it's hard to get up, you know?
Is the rules much different from
MMA?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you can ground and pound for like 5 seconds. But the guy has to be on the ground, not on the pit wall.
Okay.
So you could punch, like, with my last fight, I fought the BKFC world champion. They brought this guy in. I think he was their show pony.
What's his name?
Gorion Slaveski.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they brought him in. He had his own fucking commercial. Like, I don't know why they brought me in. I was like, oh, this is cool, whatever. I've done this before. But, so he was 6-0. He beat two UFC guys in the BKFC for the title. So he's used to fighting UFC guys, but I think they probably brought me in as like cannon fodder. But he came in and I think I hurt his eye right off the bat, and I just kind of finished him in 2 minutes. The best part about it was he fell on the pit wall. And I was hitting him, and he slid down to his butt. And then this timer goes off. This guy in the Mortal Kombat voice is just saying 5, 4, 3, and then he had to get stood back up. But then I pushed him back over on the wall, then the timer went away, right? So I beat on him some more, and then he slid back down, and I kept just pushing him. I found this glitch in the Matrix, right? Because beat the shit out of him, like, infinitely. So
was a pretty good – where was that at?
That was in Vegas.
Yeah, it was a good production too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like Anthony the lights and everything. And
yeah, like I said, there was like –
is that Anthony Pettis, is it?
Anthony Pettis was on was fighting Benson Henderson.
That's
on
right, that's right. Who runs that promotion, do you know?
It's weird because it's when I fought Gorion, I fought his coach, or I fought him, but his coach is the president of the show. So it kind of felt a little grimy, like, oh, I'm fighting one of your guys.
Yeah.
You signed me to fight one of your show ponies, and it feels kind of weird, you know? I feel like I'm always kind of like the B side, you know? Which is fun when you beat people in their hometown or their home promotion. But you're just like, kind of like, it always feels a little grimy.
What was the announcer like there?
It was the Mortal Kombat guy. The guy from the movies.
What?
Yeah, they went all out. Like,
holy
awesome.
Shit. No wonder I didn't get the gig.
Yeah. I mean, they're still trying to find someone to play Kano. You could probably do that, right?
Which one?
Kano. The Australian guy.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. You don't watch
World Combat? Come on.
Yeah, I know, but I've got to be more juiced up for that. I'm having a break to give my kidneys and liver a little bit of a break, but I need to be juiced up to the fuck house. All creatined and testosterone up, angry.
you know,
sweating.
You only got the red eye.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they're going to get Carl Urban, though. So.
Fuck. I want to go to the next one. When's the next one?
That's a cool thing. So.
And is it in Vegas?
No, they're talking about me fighting in Dubai.
Ooh.
April 20th.
Really?
Yeah. My teachers never told me I could, my fist will take me around the world, you know?
Right.
That's pretty cool. So hopefully I get to do that.
What did your teachers tell you about your fists? You'd be a great hand model for ladies' rings. Right. Look, I don't even know this guy, and you guys know how I am, okay? It's nothing personal. I like the way that he can take it on the chin. That's good. Anyway, that's good. Dubai, man.
I wear it well.
You do wear it well. Dubai. Wow. I'd love to go there. Apparently, they put it right on there, too. Like, apparently, it's fucking A-class all the way in Dubai.
Isn't it like the Las Vegas of...
of the Middle East.
Yeah.
Habibi, come to Dubai. Yeah, for sure. Have you been to Dubai, Joey?
No, I haven't.
I reckon that you'd go well there with that hair. Both of you guys with your hairdos in Dubai. I mean, look at that. So what about, so you got Cheeto? You got Cheeto?
I'm hoping for MVP. I like MVP.
Oh, yeah, he's just come in now too. Michael Venom Page.
He's a little older, but...
a little older.
I think that's a good stylistic matchup for him. Kevin Lee, or Kevin, what's the other Kevin?
Kevin
Holland.
Kevin Collins.
Kevin Holland.
Kevin Holland.
Yeah.
That's right. Kevin Holland. I was just watching it before too.
That was the worst. So when Kevin Holland was at our gym for a little bit, over at Seneca, that was like the hardest sparring I've ever had. Like the least amount of fun I've ever had on.
Was with Kevin Holland?
Yeah. Yeah. He has like a kung fu base, I believe. So he was like axe kicking me and. Like
so does MVP. He has a kung fu. But yeah, he's kung fu.
He's axe kicking me in my collarbone.
Oh, that's got to kill.
Yeah, and like just trying to clinch with him. Like it was, he's like 6'3". Yeah, he beat the shit out of me. It was not fun at all. I hate fighting 6'3" people. The guy over the weekend was 6'3", and that was hard to deal with too.
I heard Sean Strickland's pretty savage when you have a spar with him.
I've only sparred with him once, but I mean, it wasn't, yeah, it was not fun.
But you're at Syndicate though, right?
Yeah, yeah. He was with us for... a little bit. He was like 3-0 with us before moving over to Extreme, and he's just caught fire and became world champion. Yeah, he's a savage. Good jab.
Good jab. Great jab. That's how he won that fight, was with that fucking jab.
I thought he beat Duplessis.
I thought he beat Duplessis as well. We did the live stream from here, and we were just when they said and knew, we all were just like, ugh.
Duplessis, he did good. Like either way, I would be okay with it, but I was pulling for Sean.
Sean seems like the type of person. Yeah, I was pulling for Sean as well. Sean seems like the type of person that doesn't really give a fuck if he's got the belt or not.
Nah, he's all about that. All about the Benjamins.
It's all about the Benjamins. I'm sure he did well out of his last couple fights.
Yeah.
Could he be a millionaire now, do you reckon?
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I think he was probably almost about a millionaire before he got into like top 10. And all. He had that motorcycle accident. I know he got paid from that. And then he went on and won a bunch of fights in a row, became champion. I mean, he's got to be doing good right now.
Yeah. I see him driving a Tesla now.
That's right. I drive a Fiat, though. I mean, about the same thing.
Little car?
Little car, little hand. You know what that means, right?
No, I heard you say on an interview, you were saying that you had 7 inches on him, and then you turned around and said, but you only need 4.
He had 7 inches on me.
Oh, he had 7 inches on you, but you only need 4. But the interviewer didn't get it.
No, he's
he didn't get it. I thought I laughed. I got it straight away.
He messaged me the next day when I posted. He's like, I just now got that. I was like, yeah.
See, I knew it. Fucking hell. These fucking interviewers. You want a professional Australian like me to ask the right questions and to make you have a bit of a cackle. Yeah, man. Fucking. So I suppose, are you nervous about starting your quote unquote new job? It doesn't really, down at the pool at Circa. Was that supposed to be announced, or was that just between you and I? A bit late now.
I feel like everything is more nerve-wracking than fighting at this point.
More nerve-wracking?
Yeah, because just learning new skill.
Yeah.
You know, and stuff like that. But, just hospitality training. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. Something different, right?
Yeah, I mean, it beats getting punched in the face full-time, I guess you could say.
Yeah, you can just get punched in the face part-time now, and then, nice. But you got a missus, right? You got kids?
No kids, just a
couple dogs and cats.
Two naked pusses.
I can see that you've got the tattoo of the naked puss there.
That's my boy Joey.
Yeah, is he still around?
Yeah. I have him on my mouthpieces usually too when I go into the ring.
Yeah.
Good luck.
Yeah, I had my cat for 17 years.
Jesus.
Just lost him not long ago.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The worst.
I took mine to the vet not so long ago, and there was somebody there who put hers down, and it was like 17 years old. And she pulled him out of the box, it jumped on her shoulder. And I was like, I can't look at this right now. I started crying, you know? Yeah. Animals are getting hurt, like, just tearing me to shreds. Like,
so they did this scientific test that said that people are more prone to having empathy and sympathy for animals than they are for other humans. I can see people getting beat up or hurt, but you put any kind of cruelty to an animal in front of me, I have to swipe past. I can't look at it.
Mm-hmm.
Even, like, cruelty to animals or lost animals. And
you ever follow that Nature is Metal?
Mm-mm.
It's on Instagram. It's a... just like savage animal videos, you know? Well, some of it's just like brutal, like just animal kills. Animals killing other animals.
Yeah, still hard to watch.
Yeah, yeah. And so like, you know, those videos where like the zebra just gets born and then like the panther comes out of nowhere and drags it into the bushes. I'm like, I can't watch this. My whole days are ruined now. Like,
yeah, it's hard to watch. But I'm, because I don't have any kids either and I'm a little bit up there in age as far as like, I'm getting into my mid 50s now.
Mm.
So my animals are like my children to me. And Chaz, that cat, was one of the first animals I got when I moved to America.
Yeah.
So he's literally been with me the whole time I've been over here. And then, you know, he went downhill pretty quickly and we obviously had to put him down. And it was rough. It's the first time I've ever had to do anything like that. But I was reading up on it and it said that your animals sense what's happening and they would rather feel safe with you being there with them until the final minute, right?
Yeah.
And it was very, very difficult. And, you know, I was literally kissing him as he took his last breath.
Oh, no.
I had to, bud.
You're going to crush me, man.
Yeah, man. It was very difficult.
So mine, I have a Sphinx. Yeah. And
crazy bastards they are.
Dude, they're the best. But they're very needy, right? Mm. And they're always cold. They always want to cuddle. Mine sleeps with me every night.
Yep, under the blankets.
Yep, right on my chest. It's crazy. They're very prone to like respiratory issues. I don't know why, but it's just the breed, you know, any purebred.
Yep, animals. French bulldogs are the
same.
So
like the week of the morning I was supposed to get on the flight to Florida, like he had like a little wheezing attack, and I took him to the hospital like the morning of the day I was supposed to leave. At 6 a.m, I got up and I was like third in line and I just needed peace of mind to know that he was all right. Right? Mm. So I paid $370 and I got a chest x-ray. They're like, his heart's good. His lungs are good. Airway's a little inflamed. He's probably just like, it's probably allergies or he actually is a kind of a weird Sphinx cat. He has a fluffy tail and he licks it a lot.
So the
hair will like inflame. Mm. So he got some medicine, but he's like, your boy's all right. He's going to be okay. Yeah. So I was like, I needed this. It was $370, but I needed this x-ray done so I could go on my flight and go get in a fist fight, bare knuckle.
Which probably leaving the cat was probably harder than that.
Yeah, I was my boy, man.
Yeah, I had a buddy of mine. He had Sphinx cats. They're awesome. They're nice to kiss.
Like kissing a nutsack.
Yeah, it's like kissing a nutsack. Not that I've ever kissed one. Joey? Yeah. That's a negative?
Never done that.
No, okay.
Joey.
His name's Joey?
Yeah.
There you go. Oh,
my little idiot, but yeah.
That's his nickname?
Yeah, head empty, no thoughts.
Head empty, no thought. How long you had that cat?
He's 5. The other one's 8 months.
Do they live long?
Yeah, they're they have like a normal lifespan, like, you know, 15 years, whatever. Yeah. But Sphinx cats are just sometimes you get them from like a backdoor breeder or like out of somebody's trunk, you know, and they sell them for a couple $1,000 out of somebody's trunk. They might not have all their shots or they might have some health issues that are selling sick cats.
Yeah.
So one of my cats is a backdoor breeding cat, but
do you have normal cats as well or just the hairless ones?
I have one other one, a fluffy cat. Her name's Susan.
Mm. Susan.
Susan. She's old. She's 8 years old.
Yeah. Yeah. All my animals are like, my two dogs are elderly as well.
Ugly?
Elderly.
Oh.
Yeah.
No such thing.
No, no, no. Fuck no. No way. No way. One's crazy, but no, I wouldn't say ugly. Yeah, man. My pets are my life. They really, really are. And I just don't think that I could even imagine what it would be like not to have an animal. I've always got to have an animal with me, man. Always.
Yeah, I'll bring mine by probably tomorrow if you're still here.
Oh, yeah?
I have a bubble backpack. I'm one of those weirdos.
Oh, you does the cat like to go out on little... Yeah. I was actually looking at those harnesses that you can have on the front.
I got one of those, too.
Oh, you got one of those as well?
Cat dad.
I've seen this other cat that jumps on the motorbike and he's got the little fucking helmet and he puts the helmet on. Have you seen that one?
Bro, yeah, mine goes to the grocery store with me. He'll just sit on the cart and just like...
Oh, and people... Does he let people touch him?
Yeah.
Because they can be a little aggressive, the Sphinx cats.
No, they're nice. They're sweethearts.
Yeah?
Yeah. But they're like, hey, you can't have that animal here. I just put him in the bubble backpack.
You should just say it's my...
emotional support.
Yeah. It's my emotional support. I got to go through the day with him. Have you seen the size of these fucking hands? I need emotional support. I'm only fucking with you. I shouldn't be fucking with you because I barely know you. That's a little bit rude. But no, man, that's awesome. I it's good that you're an animal lover and it seems like you're fucking going well in your career. Sort of what we like to do is I know that you've got to get the fuck out of here because you've got stuff to do. Are you training? You going to train now?
I'm all swollen up still. No, I got to.
So what would you do?
What do you mean?
If you can't train.
Right now, I'm resting. You know, I fought Saturday, so
yep.
I'm still kind of busted up. But, I guess I got some, what do you call it? What are those things you do? When you go and do stuff.
Activities. Fun things.
Why is my brain not working right now? It's been working fine the whole day. No, I just got some stuff I got to do for work and starting new jobs and stuff like that. So.
Nice. What I like to do is with all my guests, and a lot of them either know the answer to this question or they get stumped on it. Well, the way I like to finish up the podcast is that I just like to ask my guests, Brandon, what is your message?
My message? Something really cheesy. What did Jason just say? It's not about who burns the brightest. It's about who burns the longest.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's just kind of like, you know, I'm just keep chugging along and see where I end up. It's, you know, it's not about the destination. You know, I'm just trying to, I'm going to have my day in the sunset. God damn it. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm going to have it.
I believe.
Whether it's a karate combat world title or bare knuckle world title, something like that. But I'll get to where I'm going for sure. I'm going to keep chugging away.
Well, you spread yourself out. You're involved with a great bunch of people. You seem that you've got your head screwed on right, and you're making moves in the industry, and you're having great success. So I believe that that's going to continue for you and that you will have your day in the sun, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon Jenkins, I appreciate you coming on the podcast today, my friend.
Sure.
It was good talking to you. And let's do this definitely again sometime for sure. Yeah. For sure.
Yes, sir.
Thanks very much for listening. Thanks very much for watching. Don't forget today's episode was proudly brought to you by Muse. Mushroom-infused products, chocolate, chews, capsules. Open your eyes to a more vivid life. If you want to just feel better, if you want to change your consciousness, and if you want to do it without drugs and alcohol, then you've got to do a little bit of research on this. Trust me, and I'm an advocate for this now. Muse. We're going to put all their details in the description. Thanks very much once again, guys. Make sure you like, share, and subscribe. I appreciate you watching, and thank you very much for coming back to the channel. I'm your host, Marcus Deegan, for The Marcus Deegan Show. We're out!